Welcome back, Full Metal RPG. Tonight, I'm Richie Buzzkill, as always, but tonight, I will have a bit of a warning, as the game we are going to discuss, that we have played, has sexual assault and Satanism built into the lore and the backstory of the characters. So, and it's a very interesting, the reason, normally I would sort of maybe avoid, not avoid, but not really even talk about that part of a game if it wasn't, but this game is something very different, and it kind of blew up the whole RPG net. If you listen to the last episode, you know what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about a Jubentia called the Dark Council. And now Noland will...
Tonight I'll be Noland, yeah.
Yeah, Noland is here with me. He's the crazy person that tracked this down. And yep. then we played at Tower Balancifer, a.k.a. Castle Kayla, with Kayla. Hello, Kayla.
Hello. That means today I get to be Kayla.
Whatever you want to call yourself now, one of the three names of Satan. Anyways, we'll get to that later. I am drinking a Simple Time Lager right now as a way to help us get through this particular game. So
we did a Jubentia, everybody.
Well, do you want to explain what a Jubentia is, Noland?
Sure. Jubentia.
Before you set up that, can you please give us the cell that you gave us that like had me going, do I even want to play this? I don't know if I want to play this game.
All right. I undersold this at the con.
Yes, you totally undersold this. And thus why everyone was happy at the end.
Yeah, I agree that I undersold and overdelivered. I was, you know. This game has sexual assault. This game has a weird like combat mini game that I didn't love when I read through it. And so when I pitched this, I kind of pitched it real soft because it's like, I'm going to sit down at, you know, and spend 4-5 hours of like the rare time when we're all together in a room and I need 6 players to commit to 4 hours and not go anywhere. Right. I didn't want to take up people's time with something that was going to flop. And I didn't know how this would go over. There are a lot of things in here to recommend it. And there are a lot of things in here that are wonky. And like, I don't quite understand why the decisions were made. So I kind of told people, like, I think that, you know, if you play this game, you'll get a weird and interesting experience you won't, you know, be able to have anywhere else, you know. And in the culinary world, you know, you'll be able to say you've eaten haggis, right? Haggis might not be the most delicious food, but like,
I love that you'll
like, have the story. You'll have the story of having eaten it, right?
I love that you said haggis instead of like blowfish or something that like people actually say, oh, it's really good. You just have to try it. Like haggis is legendarily kind of like sustenance survival food that people have like brought back to the table, right? But anyways.
Right. So I kind of pitched it soft to people. Like, I wanted to play it. I wanted to talk about it here with you guys. But I also didn't want to be, you know, that jackass that's like, play this thing that isn't fun. Right. And it turned out to be fun. People had a lot of fun, I think, with it. I don't know. Like, I got good reactions at the end. I don't know. What do you guys think? You're the players.
I was shocked. I was like, man, this was like a good time. And I was going into it thinking, okay, we might have fun or this might suck a lot. So
I think what made this game actually fun is the fact that, okay, the characters you're playing are all on the titular Dark Council. Okay. So, and hold on to your Christian mythology, because it it means nothing to this game. Nothing. Okay. if you think you know Christian mythology, like you studied it, you know your Western Christian mythology, this game is completely just wadded that up and thrown it over its shoulder, okay? So, like...
It has obviously read something about Christian, like, one...
There's a Jesus.
We used to do this where we put something into Google Translate into another language and then retranslate it back to English and see what happens. That's what's happened to Christian mythology in this particular instance, where it's been filtered through a lot of other things and come out a completely new and different thing that has the same names of a lot of stuff, because the characters you're playing are the devil, Lucifer, then there's the witch, then there's the ghoul,
which is a ghost,
because you're like
not a ghoul.
Then there's the vampire. And was there one more? Was it only five or six?
There's six. Yeah.
The werewolf. I meant the werewolf.
Did you get that one?
The fallen angel. Yeah. Lucifer is the fallen angel.
Lucifer is the fallen angel. I don't think of him as a fallen angel. I think of him as Lucifer because yes.
And then Bahir is the devil, right?
Bahir is also the devil. Yes.
Right.
Correct.
It's sort of everybody has.
And the ghost is Lilith.
Yes, that's right. If you think about
and the vampire is Cain.
God damn it. Literally.
I'm not lying.
No, you're not. But I think because everybody, they kind of like power, they like leveled the playing field with, like, even though like a werewolf would be like against the devil is like, you know, in mythology would be like a very one-sided fight, right? No, this is very much like everybody's been squozing into this like level playing field, a dramatic level playing field, right? Because like a lot of times you have these over, you know, but this is like, no, the werewolf is as valid a character and has as many dramatic moments to it as the devil does.
True.
And I think that's why this game works, because there everybody has these connections and has this like some. Actually, hilariously, I don't think I had any connections to the witch, but like you've got like three or four of the connections go back to you, and then it's kind of like everybody gets the drama to fight about what happened in the past, because also the timeline is. Cuckoo banana pants.
True. The timeline is about 2,000 years long. Why not?
But only 33 years of it matters.
Yes, about roughly.
Because for the rest of it, everyone was asleep, apparently.
Or just going around doing general evil deeds. Like, that's what it says. It literally says at the end of the thing, it's like, oh, well, you were asleep for about 1,800 years, or you were out doing evil shit or whatever. But the game is essentially a mystery game, which makes this completely more bonkers.
So should I go with, should we back up half a step and I explain what a Jubinja is now?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that. Sure.
Now that it derailed us.
Now that you know how bananas this game is.
Yep.
Why is this game bananas, Nolan?
Why is this game bananas? Right. Jubinja is a form of role-playing that developed in mainland China. It's literally translated as a scripted murder, right? And that's borne out in these little booklets you all got to read through, which were, you know, all the background and stuff around your characters. It's kind of a weird mashup of like role playing and board game stuff, and especially like how to host a murder kind of games, but with like a very strong like role play element. It really is a form of role playing in my estimation, which is why I was like fascinated with it. I was like, okay, there's like a whole like different world of role playing, and like I would love to have on the podcast like more weird, like what do other people do for role playing? Like, I would love to talk about Die Schwarze Auge and like any, you know, I know different cultures have different like forms of role playing, and like, you know, we've talked with folks South America before, right? Like I'm super interested in like what are the other forms of role playing. So this is like super attractive to me. But yeah, these games tend to have at their core a mystery, a murder mystery specifically. But they've also, you know, created all this like role playing stuff and this faction politics stuff and these like mini games that have more to do with like board game mechanics and that kind of thing. They all get thrown in together to the point that in a lot of these, apparently, I'm told, like, you know, the actual solving of the mystery is kind of a like vestigial like piece of the game, right? People don't super care about who's the murderer, and in this case that's somewhat true, right? Like finding the mole is kind of more important in this game than finding the traitor or the mole is kind of more important than finding out the murderer. Oh, and by the way, just to like, before we, I get one more thing, just to double down on what RBK said about this game being bonkers. The murderer at the core of this game is that everyone needs to deduce who killed Jesus Christ.
it tickles me so much that is the core mystery. There's two core mysteries, because of course there's who killed Jesus Christ, and then the Dark Council gets his butt kicked by heaven and then is like, oh, heaven's like, no, Satan, because there's of course Lucifer the devil and Satan, all different characters.
Yes,
Satan, correct. Heaven's like, no, we're imprisoning Satan for 2,000 years. You're going to go to the corner, mister. And then
and they want you to turn over Jesus's murderer, like, right? So they for punishment,
right? So you can release Satan from his being in the corner for 2,000 years, and Satan's finally like, all right, fine, I have like 100 years of this left, but I command you all to find Jesus's murderer and turn him over, and also to find the traitor who betrayed us to heaven. And it's like, okay, everybody, let's begin.
Yeah, that's the pitch at the start. That's the intro.
and you all read these books, because it's not just like, okay, there you go, now just go off the bat. No, no. There's a 5 to 10 page book, it's, like eight and a half by 11.
Eight pages of A4, you know, 12-point A4 pages, 12-point font. Like, yeah.
Yeah. That everyone is handed these books and sits down and reads through these books before we start.
Yeah, everyone like, sits there and reads silently.
this
you can't reveal anything.
This sounds like the worst GM's idea ever. Is like, okay, here's your part, read it, but it works. That's the it leaves it open in enough that you could actually play a character.
Yeah, you the other thing about the characters. Go ahead, Kayla.
You didn't want to role play book club? I'm confused.
I mean, that sounds awesome, but also it's no. A role playing book club in my head is a different club than this.
Yeah, it's Brindlewood Bay, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Brindlewood Bay is much closer to my idea of what a role playing book club is, because we're role playing a book club, not reading a book. But get at me. If you guys want to do like, you like have something on your shelves of glory that you want to get, that you want to read, like get at me, and I probably have it on my shelf too, and we can all read it together and talk about it. Like, that's a totally interesting idea. I like this idea. Good this idea,
like
Kayla.
This is like a Buzzkills Bookshelf variant. Yes, yeah, I'm here for it.
This is Buzzkills Bookshelf Part 2, where it's not just me like pointing at a page with my finger. Like,
no, it's reading time with Richie.
Oh, reading time with Richie. Okay. All right. I love it.
So these characters are also like, you know, we'll start to wade into some problematic stuff. Like, my understanding of how this works in mainland China is like, traditionally, these books of characters are, you know, three male and three female characters. And, you know, you are strongly encouraged because of gender roles in China not to like choose a character that is not of your gender, right? So it is a way for like young people to like role play and interact with the, like the opposite sex, right? And like meet people and like take on these roles, but like the, you know, genders of the characters are like strongly significant to the game, like in the conclusion of the game, like
wow, yeah, no, that ending is let's save that for a minute.
We can save that for the end, but like this particular one had four male characters and two female characters, but like there was like
but there's love triangles still,
but there's like love triangles and stuff, and like, yeah, like and like how the pairings work out in the end is like significant to the ending of the like.
Well, also, and that's a good, that's an interesting point to bring up, right? The booklet comes with, you get done, you get your whole character backstory, right? And then it gives you your like five or six goals that you have as a character. And I'm not sure if the order matters at all in that, but these are the things that you're supposed to take care of throughout the role play.
Yeah, I did like that because it does, the character booklets, the scripts or whatever, they are really dense, and it goes through the whole timeline, like what did you do in this year, what kind of was going on, what, you know, like, and then you had this conflict with this character and blah 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 blah, and then on the last, you know, the eighth page, like you finally get, like it does at least summarize it for you and say like, here's like 5 to 8 things you are trying to achieve, right? You're trying to solve the main mystery and the mystery about the traitor, and then like you have personal goals, and it's like A, B, C, D, E, right? Here are your personal goals, right? I don't know that any of them are any more important than the others, but like at least it, you know, lists them out for you in like a bullet point format. It's like, okay, this last page of my booklet is like what I need to be doing going forward. That was a useful like character thing for people to like hang on to.
I think the most important of those goals was not either of the mysteries, but trying to be the leader of the Dark Council.
Yeah.
Because that's the most of the mechanics actually spiral around you. And, yes. And we'll get into the actual three-level tower here.
Yeah, but, and that is one of the reasons I soft pitched it, is because like I did not really love the mechanics around like becoming the leader of the council. And there's a lot of them. Like in terms of like how many minutes of gameplay would be involved with becoming the leader of the council? Like many, many, many of the minutes are involved with becoming the leader of the council, right?
Yes. And what we were kind of speed running this game because we were trying to hit a deadline for something, some other,
for our next game. Yeah.
For next game, because of people that were going to show up online or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I could see this being like almost not a full day, but like a good solid five or six hours if we were allowed to like breathe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of side conversations that could have happened, I had a few, but this mm-hmm. could be totally like diplomacy where you play around and then mm-hmm. everyone goes to the corners of the room, and then you, like a LARP, you go over and you talk about what you're going to do next, because you know, because there's, this game is sort of played in rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want me to like,
yeah, kind of
run? Do you want me to kind of run through it? All right. Like, let me monologue for a minute here. Right. Okay. All right. So we got the dark. So I imported the Dark Council by Winbao. There's this Floating Light Studio on storybox.com, and they're translating and importing stuff from Singapore. This is a thing that can be acquired. I am going to work very hard not to do actual spoilers, but like there will be like pseudo information here. You know, we're not going to say who's, you know, which character is the
who killed murderer. Jesus. We're not going to tell you.
We're not going to tell you who killed Jesus or who betrayed Satan, who is different than Lucifer, who is different than the devil. Yes. We're not going to tell you any of that. But like you may get some corner information here. So there aren't very many of these in English. So we'll, and like the kind of whole thing, like the replayability is low, right? It relies on, to a certain extent, like the mystery, right? So we're going to try and not give away too much here, but just as a kind of advance, I'm going to try and avoid this, but you might gain a little bit of knowledge here, but I'll try and keep it as clean of that as I can. So how does the game flow, right? I explained the concept of the whole game and pitched the characters. We talked about reading through the characters and, you know, how the characters have particular genders and so forth, and that's important. So everybody sits in silence and reads their characters and their history and their goals. The summary is great. Then we kind of have introductions. I let you guys kind of, you know, because we're very familiar with it through Western RPGs, and the book does say to like let them introduce their characters and how they arrive at the Dark Council. But the actual GM's guide here has like a mini like script read for you all to like go through and be like, "Wahaha, I am the, you know." That was a little
I am Lucifer, the Morning Star.
Right, like it's kind of, it was too cheesy even for me to make you guys just like read this straight up script, like just as it thing, but you know.
Kayla, were you?
Yeah, I was saying I'm so disappointed he didn't give those to us, because that sounds awesome.
Well, perhaps we'll record a few.
Yeah, we can read this. Yeah. Vampire, angrily, shut up. Wing flapping idiot, how dare you talk to the head of the council like that? Werewolf, relaxed. This crab looking dude isn't our leader anymore. Anyway, have you forgotten how badly we lost under his leadership? You know,
perfection.
It's perfection. Chef's kiss.
No notes.
No notes. Exactly. I didn't make you all do that, but there's like a 1 to 2 page like literal script everybody goes around and reads. Yeah.
Let us all do that.
Okay, I'm guilty. Yeah, okay. And then it kind of gets into, as RBK was saying there, like a kind of round structure, right? And each round there's a kind of like role play and open discussion about like, who do you suspect? What are you thinking? What are you planning? Right? Like, and it opens up kind of with, you know, oh, we've all been brought here to the Dark Council, and like, what's, you know, what's going to happen? Are we, you know, who's going to be the leader? You know, that kind of thing. Then there's a round of adventure. And this is something I was like super, super skeptical of when I read the GM guide. The GM guide comes with like, it's about a 40 page, you know, A4 booklet. It's got a lot of, it's like talks about how the rounds work and everything. And you also get a monster manual with it. And the adventure is the players go into the Dark Council. You know, Satan has told them, you know, I want the strongest to lead the Dark Council. And Satan, not Lucifer, not the devil, just Satan. has told them, I want
The non-player character Satan.
The non-player character Satan. What everyone else would think of as capital T devil says, like, I want the strongest to lead the Dark Council. So you can all wander through this tower and beat up monsters to build your power and take each other out and become the most powerful and lead the Dark Council, right? And every character has a power that helps them against monsters in the dungeon, and every character has a power that helps them in PvP fights, and they can use their power against monsters unlimited times, and they can use their power against other players like a finite number of a limited number of times, right? So this adventure phase, right, everybody gets a pile of D3 that they can roll for damage and so forth, based on their attack level. And then I look up in these, like, you know, in this monster manual, like, what monster they picked at random from a card out of the dungeon. And there are ridiculous stuff. Like, you fight the big bad wolf from Little Red Riding Hood.
A tribble. Like, a bloody tribble. Yeah, I fought a tribble, tribble as a ghoul, as a goose ghoul.
A kitten turns into a, like, monster, like,
oh, that's what I fought, was the kitten.
Yeah, like, these, there are some, like, the, yeah, a priest that had turned himself into a couch, yeah, is what you fought, that was the tribble. Like, Frankenstein, like, these are very weird, like, you know, someone has done, like, a grab bag of, like, Western monsters and been like, Westerners like these monsters, like, they're good for them, right? Like,
yeah, I do think that the monsters, like, I feel like somebody that's looking to write an OSR adventure, just taking these retranslated monsters and using them in an OSR adventure would be well ahead of the yeah, weird scale of yeah, OSR.
Yeah, and like, sometimes the monsters come up and it's like, you're straight into combat with this monster, and sometimes it offers you, like, a 2 or 3-way choice, like, will you help the monster or hurt the monster or whatever, and, like, you get different rewards, right? And the rewards come in forms of, like, additional attack power or additional hit points for your character. Or if you lose, you can just lose hit points, right? So, you know, you go through rounds of this, and everybody has, as public knowledge, what everybody else's attack power and hit points are, right? So they go through this adventure section of play, and everybody, you know, there is something here, right, as far as a game design thing, like, there's a risk versus reward, right? You know, you need kind of to do this to advance, but it's not really optional, so there's not really a risk versus reward, but, like, you are at least making some choices here. And then comes the PvP phase of play, right, where it's like, Satan wants you to, like, beat up on the other Dark Council leaders. You can become the, like, head authority dictator of the Dark Council, right? And Satan bribes you with extra power to, like, fight other PCs, right? And yeah, you have to decide, are you going to take on somebody, you know, stronger than you and try and, like, bring them down a peg, you know? What are you going to do, right? And there's a particular order assigned for that. That all works out. And then finally, at the end of all this, like, violence, you go back to evidence collecting. And so everybody deals out from this deck of evidence card. Everyone can search various characters' rooms at the Dark Council.
Because this tower is apparently 3 levels and a jacuzzi. And so there's a part of the tower that's our rooms that we're freely walking around the halls of this tower and just, like, randomly going in each other's rooms.
Members, the top ranking members of Satan's council don't know about locks, apparently.
Nope, you can all rifle through each other's rooms and find all the kind of, like, dark secrets about, you know, that you learned in your character books. Like, you can get little pieces and parts of their character books basically out of context, right? And, like, you know, different characters have been evolved with different, you know, angels and different things over the years, and right there, and, you know, you may find something that's kind of incriminating of another character, but, you know, you find, like, 3 or 4 different people that have all kinds of different incriminating evidence against them, right? But yeah, everybody gets opportunities to, like, search through different characters' rooms, and there's kind of, like, a finite amount of clues in each person's room, and those are all, you know, printed on these nice little cards here. And so, yeah, people are building up in the center. And
well, you can only keep one of these secrets to yourself.
That is true. Yes. You can also choose if you, you know, find a clue that kind of incriminates someone you're in love with or incriminates yourself or like whatever. You can keep one of these clues back from the group. Each player can keep one of these clues back from the group. If they then later draw a clue they'd like to keep secret from the group, they either have to reveal the first clue or reveal the second. They don't, you know, yeah. So like the whole group is not like starved of clues, right? Where you just like, I'm not telling anybody anything, right? But yes, there's this last phase of kind of getting these evidence cards about what the other players have been up to. And then you're allowed to do like private scheming, right? Like I found something about so-and-so, like I think they're the, you know, traitor or so forth, and, you know, backroom deals and like, oh, let's all go attack each other in the tower and who's going to do what, right? And then it like loops back to the beginning where it's, you know, you do open discussion, then you do adventure fighting monsters to get stronger, then you do the PvP thing again, then you get clues again, right? Then you go back to open discussion, right? And it loops through that three times, right? And then at the end, you get a final info dump of all the clues. You've also kind of gotten from the monsters and so forth certain clues that exist outside the clue finding thing, right? There's certain visions from Satan and so forth you can get by fighting monsters in the dungeon, which are also basically clues, a different form of clues, right? But you get kind of at the last turn, the fourth turn, you get kind of a final info dump. Then everybody votes on who's the murderer and who's the traitor. And that has like implications for things. We also determine which characters the female characters choose to love. Because that has... that has implications on like the final outcome of the game. Everybody gets a final chance to adventure. Oh, do you want to? Like, we can absolutely stop
there. Yeah, Kayla, please like, save us.
You say this, and I'm like, yes, this is problematic. But also, if I'm reflecting, and if they changed the gender who made that decision, it's like 100 times worse.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm like, if they're gonna put this aspect in, maybe asking the female characters is the better of the two choices, the better of the wrong choices. I don't know.
Both are terrible choices. One is like 10% a terrible choice, and the other one is a 100% terrible choice. The ratio may be off there, but yes. I think that this game has amazing things about it and has some real issues besides some of the problematic shit that's going on here.
Right. So just to kind of wrap up the kind of flow of the game, right? After like everybody votes on who's the murderer and who's the traitor, there's kind of a final adventuring phase for everybody to like get their last levels up. And then everybody who wants to be like the leader of the council, the ultimate authority, like has like a final PvP round, like to the death, right? To kind of knock everybody out. At that point, like the GM runs through the epilogue, like for the characters that became the leader, for the characters that were, you know, turned over to heaven to be like tortured and punished or whatever. Because that's the thing that happens in heaven is you get tortured.
by the heavenly light, you are forced to endure it or something like that. I don't know.
And then finally for the group, right? And the decision about who's the traitor like has a bigger, you know, thing there about that. And like I as the GM have like a bunch of appendices, and like they include like all the possible endings, like did they get the spy right, the spy or the traitor right, or did they get the murderer right or wrong? And like you know, there's even like a special ending, like if the traitor is turned over to heaven as the like murderer, then like Heaven's like, oh, hi, you're like on our team. Like, we're not going to punish you. You're good.
Well, that would have been an interesting thing to aim for. Anyways.
But like, there's like five or so alternate right endings at the end of this book. Right. And then I kind of like lay it out. Right. And then, you know, there's a couple more like appendices at the back of this book, right? Which has like
Nolan.
Yeah.
If the traitor doesn't get named, do they not get taken back to Heaven?
Sorry. If they like, pick the wrong traitor?
Yeah.
If they
like, does the traitor not get to go back to Heaven anyways?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, yeah. I actually
but
think
it is a different ending, right? Because like when the ending you guys got was you didn't find the traitor because RBK was the traitor, right? And he played it right.
Why would you trust RBK? I don't know why that was, but maybe because of this.
You kept your damn mouth shut.
That's
the
right.
Whole time.
Don't talk to the cops, everybody. Do not talk to the cops.
And yeah, so if you don't find the traitor, you get the ending you got, right? Where it's like the traitor is sitting there all like on the council and like sending all the information to Heaven, and like the council like overthrows Earth for like a day, but like then they're all suddenly betrayed, and then Heaven knows where all your demonic forces are and surrounds you and like kicks your ass, right? But if you kick the traitor out as the murderer instead of as the, you know, as the traitor, then they're not there to get that like information. The ending's like slightly different, right? Like,
so then interestingly enough, don't they get sent to hell? If you identify them as the other one?
If you correctly identify them, yes, then Satan, like, then they lose and Satan does bad, bad, terrible things to them, right? Like.
But anyways, we sort of spoiled some things there, but anyways. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's move on from the structure of this game and talk about.
I want to talk about one more thing. Like,
okay.
At the end of the book, right? There's this, like, you're right. There's like this, at the end of the book, there's this like chronological like listing of like everything that happened, right? In terms of like, what is the story truth? Like what happened in 56 AD and what happened in like all these different years, right? And who was where and who did what, right? And that was a lot of fun after the game, right? People were like, wait, I want to know, like, what was this? Who really?
Well, this is one of my deep problems with this game, other than the many other problems we've already discussed, right?
Okay.
There's much fun to be had when there is, but one of the problems with this game is you as a character, the knowledge you were given is not perfect.
Yes.
And
this is 100% true.
There are things that your character has done that you do not know that your character has done. And that is, I think, the biggest flaw in this game. I mean,
yes.
Of the many flaws of this game. But
yeah, I think that's intentional. I think the characters are meant to be.
I agree.
Unreliable narrators.
Sure. But there's a thing that happens in this game, the sexual assault that we just talked about,
yep.
The character that did the sexual assault does not know they did the sexual assault.
Yes, the character that did sexual assault got, you know, depressed about their lost love or whatever and got drunk and sexually assaulted another character, the other female character.
Yes, and that...
And it's like they were drunk. They don't even know. And they raped another character. Like, and the other character is really mad about it. And like, they don't even know. It's not even in their character book and their background they read. It's not there. We looked it up after. It's absolutely 100% not there. It's framed in an entirely different light in their book. Like,
oh man, the way that was role played out too, when confronted. Was like, Whoopsie.
just put out some I mean, I look like I'm in hell right now because of my lighting, but some steam has just come out of my shirt.
Yeah, like, it is problematic all the way down.
there's also to solve the mystery, you are not given all the knowledge your character would have about the mystery. And there are things that pulled out of clues that were like, did I do that? I don't think I did that. Like, I definitely don't remember doing that. Looked through book. No, I didn't. But it's there. So there's this imperfect knowledge in a mystery that does make it more interesting, by the way, but also makes it harder to actually play the game.
Maybe yeah. That's why the 2000 year thing is important. It's like your memory is hazy from a thing that happened 2000 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're meant to trust the clues on the card more than you trust your own like character background, right? Like,
well, I would say is the cards a tip if you're going to play this is trust the cards over your background. But it's still like that is becomes a thing that sort of like, because that's what we were doing after the game, is we were like literally like everyone was surrounding Noland. I mean, like, so what did my character do in the past, in my history? Like, what did my character do? And that
for me, please.
It was, yeah, good. I mean, it mostly lined up, right? Like, there was not a lot of like wild divergences like that. That particular one was A, the most problematic piece, and B, of course, it's wild that that's not like called out in their character sheet, that they need to like hide that piece of information or like,
well, you but know. But there's things that are part of the Jesus murder mystery, which I can't believe I just said that my character would absolutely have remembered. Absolutely, right. Would have remembered that the way that Jesus dies isn't the way you remember from Bible school, everybody. It's a completely different thing. And I would have absolutely remembered this one particular clue, and then I got a clue and I'm like, the hell?
Yeah.
But it's from Satan's point of view, so I guess I gotta trust it. Like, okay, like,
yes, yes. Many, many people attempted to kill Jesus, and only one person succeeded. And yeah, like, it's a whole mystery.
You see, kids, why I'm drinking, while Uncle Buzzkill is drinking to try and remember this.
This is why I drink, yes.
Oh, man. All right.
But yeah, everybody was very interested in like finding out what actually happened at the end. The other thing in the appendix of this book that was like less good fun is after that appendix of like, you know, what happened in each year. There's even a chart in terms of like what happened in each year and like what the years that were involved and the characters across the top. And there's a whole like chart about, you know, what did everybody do in that year that was important to their background. But the thing that's less fun is like the book then like has a section like how to deduce the murderer and the traitor, and the book like lectures you about what an idiot you are for like not figuring this out, right?
This reminds me of those logic puzzles that they gave to like the enhanced the like bright student classes would give you, that they're like, it's a grid of clues and people, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to like eliminate that Jack went to killed Jesus at this time, and you put a little X. I feel like you have to like make your own little grid and try to like suss out, like you have to like interrogate every single person, like, what did you do in year 19?
Right.
Like,
it's like, obviously everyone had motives, so like the important thing to look at is means and opportunity, so now you obviously will look at this and blah blah, like it's like it's good that it's in there, that it's like, this is in principle solvable, because like, you could get real mad if you just be like, this game did not give me the clues at all. But it's like, it's in principle solvable, and it has imagined like, here is exactly one like path through the like clues that get you to solvable. And it's not at all clear that like, this is obvious, or like, even if people withheld a little bit of information, that it would be known like at all. Right. Like,
I could solve my personal mysteries. Like, I believe I solved those. Mm-hmm. Those I got. But the idea that I was going to solve that mystery of who killed Jesus with the number of, you know, like the Clue movie where they had all the different endings like lined up. Right. Each theater had a different ending. Like, I feel like that's where we're at. Like, everybody could have done it, and here's the clue path you could take to get to anybody.
At least make four characters, possibly five, were definitely strongly implicated. Right, like
Kayla.
Yeah, I think. I don't know that my character was actually implicated in the murder part.
Yeah, I think you were. Yeah. You had some indication, but yeah, not really, but
not like very, very loosely. Yeah. Like,
yeah, not as strongly as everyone else. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Like else had a real
everyone. There were three for sure that I was just like, I don't fucking know. Like,
and I think all those three people did in fact try to kill Jesus, but only like one of them succeeded. Right. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's such a good, I will say, on the upside, is I actually really like the books with all the knowledge. I think that could really, if you want to play a one-shot, I feel like giving somebody a book of, like, for a Call of Cthulhu adventure or something like that, could be really exciting and interesting to add that idea of like, here's some pre-knowledge for you here.
Yeah, like, I love the way that it kind of like spring loads the pre-knowledge in your book and then like drops little bombs as the clue that like unleash the and you know, the spring knowledge in your, you know, that's kind of charged up in your character sheet. Like, you know, many clues people were like, this doesn't matter to me at all. And somebody else is like, I fucking knew it.
Like, you're the asshole that did that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And like, one person's like, I don't even know like why this clue is in here. And somebody else is like, I fucking hate you. Like, how dare you? And like, cause it just like set off something in their background. They're like, you know, like that was a lot of fun. Like that piece, like with the clue, with the deep backgrounds that like set up these conflicts and set up these mysteries. And then like the cards are dropping periodically throughout the game. And like every so often someone's like, boom, like they put some connection together. And like that was a lot of fun. I thought, right. To me, that's the best part of the game.
Yeah. That was really interesting. It was hilarious to me though, because things are vague and people get different information in their background. Mm-hmm. And like, granted, we all know each other. We've known each other for 2000 years ish. But like my character's getting accused of something and I'm like, legit don't think I have done this at all. And so I'm just like, nope, wasn't me. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I get like one piece of information, like their name or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh shit, I did do that. That was me.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely like, oh yeah, no, there's a reason I have that. It's not the reason you think that why I would have that.
Yeah, you found this evidence in my room and there's totally a reason.
But now I'm going to tell you the lie I've always told you about why that would be there.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of
yeah, I did do that, but there's like, you're only telling just a little tiny piece of like the information as to what's going on. Like, let's talk about the whole story
Right.
Because my version of the story is vastly different than yours.
Right. And yeah, I also enjoyed that little piece of like going around and accusing it, you know, like I found this in your room, explain it, right? Like that's a nice little role playing like moment for everybody, right? Like,
and the other person's like, I don't know why that would be in my room. That's the one that like, that's the one that really gets me, is the imperfect knowledge. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I know why that would be there, but I'm not going to tell you why that would be there. Right. I have to have a story prepped. It almost feel like you, like there was some times where I'm like, oh yeah, no, I know why that's there. I'm not going to tell you why that's there. I'm going to tell you the story that you should hear about why that's there. And that's totally because I'm a loyal person who didn't do anything to damage the council. Okay. So
that's the structure and that's how it works. What did we all think? You know, like, I got some of how what we thought.
I feel like I've been telling you how I think, but I don't know if it's been in the book or not. Anyways, Kayla, what do you think?
Oh, I had a good time. I usually do not like hidden role social deduction games as principal, because I really hate lying to friends, and I really don't like trying to like figure out who's lying to me. It bugs me. But this one, half the time I was lying and didn't even know I was lying. So that made it a little easier from that perspective. I did have a lot of fun. I enjoyed this game a lot more than I thought I was going to, especially when it was like, hey, there's this hidden role aspect and we're all trying to like figure out who among us is the problem. And I was like, okay, we'll play this. I don't know. So
there were multiple whodunits, so you could concentrate on whichever one you were into.
Yeah,
and well, try to solve those.
The, right? And the side game that I ended up playing was, I'm gonna fucking rule the council. Like, I don't care about anything else. Number one on my playbook is rule the council. I'm gonna rule the council.
Exactly,
and you did,
and I did. You played it perfectly. You waited till the strong person won, then married them, and then they got taken off.
Conveniently sent them away.
Perfection. Cersei would be happy with you.
I will say you did pick up the character that I said, like, content warning, sexual assault.
I know I did.
So from your opinion, like, how was that, right?
I don't know if you've read the playbook for that.
I tried to read all the playbooks. I've not
read they're
all a little bit of a blur at this point.
But like, besides it being like a bad situation, the translation of it, it was like mildly amusing in the way that they chose to write this out. I'm like, this is not how humans talk, but okay. Like, sure, this is how we're gonna describe this situation. It wasn't in graphic detail or anything, so like, if anyone is thinking about playing this game and is worried about that portion, it does not go into graphic details at all. It's just basically lets you know that this situation has happened, like, and from that player's perspective, it's like, you pass out, you wake up, and they're like, you know that this situation has happened.
Yeah.
Which is probably the best way you could do that, but I don't think you should do that. Anyways.
I mean,
correct. If you're going to include that in the background, let's at least put it off screen and not have it be part of any type of role play that ever happens at the table, right? It's just a thing that has happened, and then make sure that everyone is okay with.
I mean, it did end up motivating your character, right? You like you like figured it, you solved that mystery, right? And figured out who it was and like arranged for them to die in the final combat, right? Like
True. I accidentally solved that mystery and then conveniently accidentally solved another mystery. And so everything was coming up me at the end.
But yeah, like I'm told that from like, I don't want to like, far be it for me to defend like this. I think there should be content warnings all the over this and that kind of thing. But like, I'm told in Chinese culture that their opinion on this is like, you're playing a game about like someone literally murdering and taking human lives. Like the fact that there's rape in this game is like the second worst thing that's happened in this game, right? And like, if you're dealing with a game that has murder in it, obviously like that's on the table too. Like obviously you're here for this. I'm like, I don't think that's the way we think about that in the West.
It's a very apples and oranges to us. Like it's very yeah.
the other thing that I found interesting about the cultural difference is like the fact that there is text in there to tell you this is the part where you accuse each other of things. And you read this after like three things have been thrown out as accusations all immediately. And then it's like, okay, I'm supposed to read this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the pieces I had. What do you guys have in terms of questions or like,
I mean, I feel like this game has there. This genre has a lot of interesting, and I understand why people would get obsessed with this. I understand it because I could see like, okay, Saturday night, we're all going to go down to the parlor because they have parlors. This Jubensha parlors are more, there are more Jubensha parlors per capita than escape rooms were before the end times happened. Like in America, like this is how popular it is in China.
Yeah. And people will do these in full costume and at these shops in rooms that are themed around like an evil table or whatever. Right. With satanic imagery and like all this stuff, like they'll, and red lighting or whatever, they'll do the whole deal. Right. Like it.
And I could see why this is like, there's something here that's really, really interesting. And I'm hoping that we get more because like you said, there's only two of these that have been translated into English. I'd like to see a few more, but I'd also love to get more people to have access to this so that we can use this tech. There's some technology in here that is really interesting that could be used to enhance traditional role-playing games or American role-playing games as they were. Or indie RPGs or whatever you want to call them, our RPGs could benefit from the input of this. And I think that like, cause there's a lot of like fiasco is maybe the game I could see that could most benefit from this is maybe you just like write out a quick backstory or there's like a quick, like, but you know, in the Western tradition, like giving someone a bunch of an info dump ahead of time is kind of forbidden. It's like, it feels very wrong, but like it made this game vastly better than it had any right to be.
Yeah. When a player shows up, the GM is like, read my 8-page background, GM. Like GMs right. are like, oh God, really?
Like, right. And if the GM was to do the same, it would be also like, oh God, really? But in the case of a mystery or something where everyone has their, I feel like it's got to be like very, the power levels or like whatever the thing you're doing has to, everybody's kind of have to be on equal footing in order for this to work in narrative control. But I don't know. Go ahead.
I kind of ache in the character book, like the backstory that we all had to read, almost like reading the tale of Bluebeard's Bride at the beginning of Bluebeard's Bride. Like it's slightly different in that, like, we're not all getting the same story. Right. but there is this amount of like, you're getting background and you're getting lore about the thing that you're going to play through. And it is a story that you read through. And I found the story interesting in my playbook. I don't know what your thoughts were.
I think my story was also interesting. There was some real weird twists. I will fully admit that, but I was like, I'm here for it. And like, I feel like Bluebeard's Bride might be a perfect example where each playbook would have its own version of the story of Bluebeard from their perspective. Would be like, that would be phenomenal, I think, because that would help set up your character in the actual game. It doesn't affect you going to rooms and all this stuff, but it would help you set up like who is the crone, like how does the crone think, or what does the crone do?
That's
or
a,
like, perspective.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thought. Like, how would the witch perceive Bluebeard's story?
Yep.
Versus how would the mother or the virgin, and like what would that story look like through their lens?
Or even those moments where, like, in the story that are just about what the witch would do, like, where it's like, I think they go hunting and like she cuts out the heart and like hands it to him or whatever of the creature that they kill or whatever. Like, just that part being in only the witch's handbook, right? So they get to tell that part of the story during the game would be really fascinating. So this is the kind of stuff that I just like, it percolates my brain just thinking about the possibilities of giving players information like ahead of time, not like dumping a whole big lore. Like, if somebody gave me an 8-page thing to read, like, I'm like, I don't really want to read this. But if somebody gave me like some perspective, and I don't want to read 8 pages of lore, but I want to read 8 pages about my character because it's about my character and not about anybody else's character, I think is vastly more interesting. Like, it's a weird perspective. Anyways, Nolan, what did you think?
I was surprised at how well it went over. We compressed the combat things quite a bit. I agree with you on the part about the mystery and the hidden information in the backgrounds, right? Like, you wouldn't normally want to go through 8 pages of information, but this is like a mystery where kind of information is currency, like, in a way, to like solving the final thing. So like, those 8 pages of the information that you and only you have, that you're not allowed to like quote to the other characters, right? Because, you know, you're always supposed to be like, you know, oh, I could be lying to you, right? Like, at any point, right? You're not allowed to like turn over your book and be like, look, it says right here I didn't do it, right? You have to like paraphrase your book and like, well, but like, that book full of information is like your information, and that's like salient and important to you because like, this is a game about mystery where information is currency. Like, I know something you don't. I am holding a clue back in my hand of cards because I don't want to share it with you. I want to keep this clue to myself. Like, I'm lying to you all. Like, this information is like, I want to read this book because this information like helps me in the game, right?
Yeah. Tyler and I were processing this after the game a little bit, and like how that mechanic works as far as like, so when you present all, like, everyone sees and can go back and review any of the clues that have been revealed. But I do think it would have been an interesting thing to also be like, you can't submit the physical evidence that you receive directly from Satan into this. Like, you can say all you want, but you can't like turn your card over to be like, see, here's proof, because then it adds that extra layer of
I'm deeply unsure based on the rules as written in the thing, and I've gone over it since. Like, you get those visions from Satan or whatever, which are like additional clues that you get during the like adventuring phase. And I am deeply confused as to whether or not those are intended to be public information or private information at all, because the book doesn't like say how that works, because they're not strictly speaking clues. But yeah, I don't know how those are supposed to work. And that's just an area, like, I'm sure if I understood, you know, the traditions of Javincha better, I would like have a more intuitive thing. Because like, even as a Western like role-playing book, like, you'll see instructions in a Western role-playing book, like, and then you set a scene, like, whatever, and like, how do you set a scene, right? Like, oh, this is something like, you know, because, you know, of a bunch of Western role-playing games you've played, and then the GM will tell you the difficulty, like, how does, yeah, that work, right? You know, all these kinds of traditions, like, that you understand because you are familiar with the traditions of Western role-playing. I'm sure if I understood this better, this instruction would make more sense, but, like, it just is not clear to me in the book. Like, we let you keep those semi-private and, like, reveal them if you wanted to. And, like, I do not know at all if that was the intention of the author, right? Like,
yeah, I think that that's... There is sort of, because this is a translated game, there is sort of this, well, we're just going to play it like this because we don't know. We can't figure it out, and it worked fine. So it could be more interesting or it could be less interesting. We just don't know. So, okay. So final thoughts, everybody. I think that this was an interesting experience. I would love to do another one. Especially if the lore is as wacky as this one is, because I think it's just like, whoa, hello everybody, hey, we're playing this mystery, you know. But even if it's not, like, I think it would be really interesting. But it's also maybe getting banned in China, so we may not see these ever.
I mean, I don't think they're all being banned in China. I have been told that the Communist Party is not super happy about some of these that have LGBTQ themes, that have other, you know, themes that maybe question authority in certain ways. Like, there are a certain number of these Javincha that I'm being told, you know, that, you know, because this is the kind of thing that takes place in, like, basically, like you said, escape room parlors kind of thing, right? Javincha parlors. It had flown under their radar for a while, but it's wildly popular, more popular than escape rooms ever were here, as RBK said. And the Chinese Communist Party is now like cracking down on like things that have the wrong kind of themes. And I'm told there are even Jubensha that are of a genre of patriotic Jubensha that have themes that glorify the Chinese Communist Party and so forth. And
interesting.
Of course there are.
Those are approved. They said the genre will not go extinct. There will definitely always be like approved
state sponsored
Javincha. But the ones
does it
that
come
have,
with a red book,
the does ones it... that have the wrong kind of ideas in them are being cracked down on, I'm told. I'm not an expert, but yes, all that right. is my understanding.
Final thoughts.
Yes. Final thoughts. It went a lot better than I even thought. Everyone seemed to have a good time. I love the mystery part of this. I did not love the combat piece of this. I was very skeptical. If we had played out the combat piece of this in full, it would have taken a whole lot of time. And I think that would not have been the super best use of time. But it does kind of emphasize the whole struggle for the leadership of the council piece and make it more weighty in the end. But I super loved the mystery parts and like how it, you know, built the mysteries into the character sheets and then kind of trickled that information out, you know, with enough that you could at least, you know, make reasonable guesses. And many people solved many mysteries. I loved that it had like tons of secondary mysteries about who did other things to other characters, that other characters wanted to solve those pieces of information, that there's not only two main mysteries about the spy and the traitor, but each character has like their own personal mysteries they want to solve. Like, all that I loved, and I thought people had a good time, and yeah, it went off better than I expected. So I'm excited to do more of these, but yeah, it has no replayability, so when we do it again, I'll have to import something else.
Excellent. Kayla, final thoughts?
I would totally play another one. I agree with a lot of the criticisms that you guys have already mentioned. And I actually think that it was a really cool take on something that I wasn't sure that I was going to like. So I was really happy that everyone had such a great time.
Excellent. Well, thanks everybody. We had a great time at a very interesting game. Maybe not a great game, but a very interesting game. I would like to thank the patrons for their long wait for new episodes. And I'm hoping that this episode, being such a unique subject matter, because there was a very popular video, but there's not much else out there in English, would maybe encourage you to share this episode with your friends, clergy, and other people. So thank you very much.
Any remaining members of MAD?
Yeah, well... Yeah, if you have an issue with this episode, please email me at fullmetalrpgbiz@gmail.com. Just, you know, get at me. It's fine. yeah, and if you'd like to support this weird show that we call Full Metal RPG, is patreon.com/fullmetalrpg. And we got some new t-shirts coming soon, but if you want to look at the old t-shirts, because those are going away, go to fullmetalrpg.com and look at the merch button on there. So I want to thank everybody for their hard work. I want to thank Nolan especially for importing this rare and weird gem from the from China, and have a good night, everybody.